Now, our first item of business is the approval of the minutes for our August 21 and 22 meeting. I ask you to please review those minutes if you have not already, and I hear a motion for move adoption.
So moved. Second.
Thank you, Judge Rosenberg, seconded then by Judge Jacobson. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes approved. Next on our agenda is my regular report as Chief Justice to the Council, summarizing my engagement since our last meeting in August 22nd. And I would say that just as we began our meeting today with our swearing in of new members, quite a number of my engagements since August 22nd began with the same words. If you will repeat after me, I state your name, do solemnly swear or affirm, many of you here. I strongly believe in the words of the oath we all take as public servants, and it's an honor to administer it every single time. At the California Judges Association and the State Bar of California's annual meetings in San Diego, I administered the oath to Judge Weber, the California Judges Association President, and her board, the California Court Commissioners Association President, Commissioner Jerry Hamlin, and their board, the State Bar's new president, Mr. Craig Holden, and his board, the Conference of California Bar Association's new chair, Mr. Duncan Crabtree Ireland, and their new officers and board members, and the California Women Lawyers' new president, Ms. Wendy Behan, and their new officers and board. And in Los Angeles, I was pleased to participate and administer the oath of office to the 47th President pro tempore of the California State Senate, Senator Kevin De Leon, the first Latino leader in the Senate in over 100 years in California. In Sacramento, Justice Baxter and I, along with members of the California Supreme Court and members of the legislature, attended a luncheon hosted by Governor Brown and First Lady Anne Brown in honor of the Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto, who also traveled with his cabinet, including his Attorney General. I believe these interactions are vital to establishing and maintaining the goodwill and understanding that Senator Evans spoke about at our July meeting with our sister branches of government. A goodwill can be short-lived and must be nurtured on a regular basis. Understanding needs to be reestablished as leadership changes and new members join our sister branches, and we have new challenges together. A unity of message and purpose in our actions in the branch has proven successful in creating goodwill. I've continued my regular contact with Mr. Michael Cohen, Director of the Department of Finance. And apart from our ongoing discussions about budget, Mr. Cohen is also interested in the work of the Commission on the Future of California's Court System on the administrative fiscal side. I attended part of the first meeting of the Futures Commission that's led by Justice Corrigan and Justice McGinnis that was here in San Francisco. And I also was able to join many of you at the California Judges Association educational session on that commission in San Diego. The California Judges Association and the State Bar of California's annual meetings are regular highlights in my annual calendar. This year, along with Justice Baxter, I donned a red feather boa and a red felt hat. Justice Baxter in a top hat and coattails of sorts in an educational program on federalism, did get credits for attending that, on the life of Chief Justice David S. Terry and federalism, a life and a doctrine in three acts. We played to a crowd of 800 people at 8 a.m. in San Diego, hot ticket, couldn't get in, it was crowded and sold out. I played a number of characters ranging from Ms. Sarah Hill and Circuit Justice Field to Justice Miller, not Doug Miller. The program was a collaboration between the California Judges Association, the State Bar, and the Historical Societies of the California Supreme Court and the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California, and there is a DVD of that tape, of that play. I also maintained my regular contacts with the federal bench by attending the Cal State Federal Judicial Council meeting in Los Angeles, and I can tell you that our federal colleagues and our national colleagues are very interested in the topic that's going to be addressed in item one on our agenda today, dealing with immigrant juvenile status in our California courts. And also as a result of that, California is leading the pack in terms of education and training of judges and staff. And so they've asked me to present in San Antonio, Texas, on what California is doing about that situation facing the courts. It's clear that the wealth of talent, experience, and diversity that exists in our California courts is always on display. It also meant a busy schedule for me at the State Bar Conference and CJA, along with Frank McGuire, who accompanied me in that four-day period to 19 engagements. My attendance at the annual meetings began with a reception to launch an appellate self-help clinic by the San Diego Bar Association, and it ended, as it always does, with CJA, California Judges Association's conversation with the chief. It's a great opportunity for me to hear from my colleagues and from the bar about what's happening in the state and what are the concerning challenges in the future. The California Women Lawyers celebrated their 40th anniversary dinner with a Lifetime Achievement Award for retired Justice Joyce Kennard. I was happy to attend and recognize Justice Kennard's achievements. The Fellows of the American Bar Foundation hosted an interesting program on findings from a camera in a jury room over 50 civil juries in Arizona were taped, and their understanding of jury instructions and how they interacted. It was quite interesting. The National Association of Women Judges, NAWJ, their Informed Voters Project engaged local business and community leaders and legal professionals on the importance of the courts. I also attended their annual conference this month with Joan Weber, Justice Weber, on the theme of protecting and advancing meaningful access to justice. I participated in a plenary session with Justice Peggy Quince from the Florida Supreme Court and Burke Brandenburg from Justice at Stake on election, selection, and retention of judges and challenges to judicial independence happening nationwide, a topic that I know Administrative Presiding Justice McConnell and Justice Joan Irion are actively involved in. It's also important to recognize and celebrate the contributions and accomplishments of groups of individuals to our justice system. And this year, I was pleased to participate in the State Bar's Awards, from the President's Pro Bono Awards to the Diversity Awards. This year, I presented the Ronald M. George Public Lawyer of the Year Award to an attorney, Wendy Patrick, and the Lauren Miller Legal Services Award to Betty Norwind, two inspiring and dedicated legal professionals who've really changed the lives of individuals in California. And while at the annual meetings, I took the opportunity to attend the Bench Bar Coalition meeting with many of you and to visit with the California Court Commissioners. There were also bar-related activities not related to the annual meeting. I was glad to be able to join the Sacramento County Bar Association with Justice Baxter in honoring Administrative Presiding Justice Vance Ray as their Judge of the Year, and to join the Santa Clara County Bar Association's Judges Night for their awards and the recognition of former council member Presiding Judge Brian Walsh, who won their Outstanding Jurist Award this year. It's not every day, also, that you're asked to create 14 meaningful words that are representative of the work you've done in your lifetime and try to explain why it was important. But I was glad to give my 14 words as part of an award acceptance speech at a convention on the elimination of all forms of discrimination against women. This is a Women's Human Rights Award. It's sponsored by the Commission on the Status of Women and by the Friends of San Francisco. I attended the Asian American Prosecutors Association's dinner gala in Oakland, where I was able to share with them my experience as a female prosecutor and a minority. And things have changed by the looks of 500 people in that crowd, and better for it after all these years. I was also able to meet briefly with the Joint Working Group for California's Language Access Plan, ably co-chaired by Justice Rivera and Judge Covarrubias. I also had a positive meeting with representatives from the U.S. DOJ and the U.S. Attorney's Office on the same subject of language access in California. We continue to work on the issue of unmet legal needs and the needs of self-represented litigants. We hosted our first Legal Aid Services Liaison meeting with representatives from the legal aid service providers throughout California, including Disability Rights, Legal Services of Northern California, Neighborhood Legal Services Los Angeles, Public Advocates, Legal Aid Foundation of Los Angeles, Legal Aid Association of California, Public Counsel of Los Angeles, and Judicial Council members and staff. And proving that you never really leave counsel, I was on a panel with Judge Jarre and District Judge John Bates from the District of Columbia and Mary McQueen, President of the National Center for State Courts. The theme for the panel was Justice in the Balance, the Case for Full Judicial Funding. It was presented by the DRI, the Defense Research Institute Center for Law and Public Policy. Funding issues remain an ongoing challenge at the federal and state level across the country. And finally, I had the opportunity to speak with the assigned judges in the assigned judges program at one of their educational conferences. Last year, the assigned judges program provided the equivalent of 140 judgeship hours to the judicial branch. Judgeship hours 140 full judgeship positions, and of all the hours they contributed, 200 of them were pro bono. That's the end of my report.